Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to the great episode of the Galaxy Podcast. David here with my two best friends in the world, the Snowman and the Geostorm, to my boo-too, a Madea Halloween special Tyler Perry extraordinaire, Randy Justin. How you doing, Randy?
I'm fantastic. Am I Geostorm?
You are Geostorm, because it's a Nicolas Cage away from being your favorite movie of all time.
Oh, that's the only thing that could make that movie palatable.
And I gave Justin the Snowman because it's just an incomprehensible mess. But it's the opposite of Justin, but it has his Michael Fassbender in it. So I thought he'd appreciate that.
That's true. I would also have appreciated being the Foreigner and just be Jackie Chan and beat the shit out of everybody.
But that movie's doing good and getting good reviews, to where I saw both The Snowman and Geostorm over the last week and a half, and both of them are terrible.
That's too bad. I heard Snowman, they didn't even shoot the entire script. They like ran out of time while they were on location, so the movie doesn't even really play out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of rumbling. So before the movie even came out, the director, whose name I totally spaced out and forgot. Thomas Alfredson. He's had a pretty good career, but it's been 6 years since his last movie. So on the Tuesday before the movie was set to come out, he was basically talking to a journalist and said that, yeah, we basically didn't shoot 10 to 15% of the movie. And the journalist, didn't really, I think he must have been caught off guard. He didn't ask the proper follow-up questions, because not only did they have their principal photography, they did reshoots. And so if during, we're all filmmakers, during principal photography, if you don't get what you need to be shot, then you rework something, and then when you do reshoots, you correct it. Mm-hmm. But apparently he's blaming the studio. I think the writing was kind of on the wall from the critics saying how terrible it is. I mean, it's just really weird because, it's not really spoiling anything. Val Kilmer is in the movie, and he's part of this subplot. And Val Kilmer, unfortunately, has been going through, had cancer of the throat and stuff like that. And so they dubbed Val Kilmer's voice, like somebody else's voice, over Val Kilmer. But you know what Val Kilmer sounds like because he's, a pretty big deal. And so when a different voice comes out, even though, it's not, they didn't put someone in a talk like this. But it's just kind of off-putting because what noise is supposed to come out of that mouth, and it's not Val Kilmer. And there's just a lot of loose ends. God bless Fassbender. He's trying. I feel for the guy. He's kind of on a shit sandwich kick right now. He's been making some turds.
Dude, Assassin's Creed was the worst, man. That movie was garbage.
And on top of that, he had Alien Covenant. He had Trespass Against Us. He had Light Between Oceans. He had X-Men Apocalypse. So he's had like five bad movies in a row. I mean, I don't really put X-Men Apocalypse at his feet because his Magneto is the best part of that movie. I think he's a pretty rad Magneto, but it actually brings up kind of a point of conversation I want to bring up with you guys, is at what point is this just Fassbender's agent just telling him, just take everything? At what point do we have to put some blame at Fassbender for choosing these shit projects, Justin? I mean, is this just, he just doesn't want to say no, he's trying interesting things, or is this just, he just needs a paycheck?
That's a very good question. Are these movies from the same studio by chance, or are they all different?
No, they're all different. I mean, because Days of Future Past is Fox, but I guess Alien Covenant is also Fox. The Snowman I know is not Fox, but I don't know who
it
is.
Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed, I believe, is Warner Brothers, but I could be 1,000% wrong. I'll answer that momentarily.
I'm just curious. I mean, because sometimes they sign like a contract deal, like to do five movies or something like that. But I don't know, man. It seems weird that he's doing all these terrible movies. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's a very talented man, And I do not see the reason behind it. I mean, X-Men is a fun franchise, and not all the movies are hits. Prometheus could have been a hit, but the movie was garbage. Assassin's Creed, that's a pretty big gamble. It's very rare that a video game franchise turns into a successful movie. We've talked about it on a Pixelated Podcast numerous times, and some of our favorite ones are actually pretty old. Like, fucking the first Mortal Kombat movie is fantastic. I actually really enjoy the first Resident Evil movie. And then Warcraft. But, I mean, I think that's just a guilty pleasure. I just loved everything about the Warcraft movie. Some would say it's an absolute marvel of storytelling. But as for Mr. Fassbender, I do not know. Your guess is as good as mine. I did like the Steve Jobs movie, though.
Yeah, he was great in that.
That was a couple years ago. But that was probably my last favorite movie of his. I think that's fair to say, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, and so you were right. Assassin's Creed is Warner Brothers, so Assassin's Creed, Alien Covenant, and Apocalypse were all 20th Century Fox. So maybe they got nude pictures of them or something.
Maybe.
So Randy, is this kind of, you know, we've been saying it for years? Is this kind of like the death knell? Is the notion of, you know, the big name actor who can carry a franchise, is that era dead? Can movie stars carry a film? You know, we saw it with, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean did shit with Johnny Depp. Transformers did pretty shitty with Mark Wahlberg. And so
Jack,
I guess,
Reacher,
I should phrase, yeah, Bobby. I should say, yeah, I mean, so, oh, maybe, yeah. I should say, in America, is the concept of the action of the movie star dead? In foreign markets, those movies all did great, you know, because, you know, foreign markets, I guess, love the movie star. But is the movie star dead in America?
I think so. Because, you know, the whole notion of an idea of movie stars was when there were a lot fewer movies being made and a lot fewer people rose to that level of stardom. Now you've got so many household names, whether it be from TV shows or fucking reality TV on top of movies and fucking YouTube personalities and everything. So it's like our whole idea of what a celebrity is has changed and morphed over the last, you know, specifically over the last like 20 years, but certainly from where it started decades ago. So, yeah, I just don't think it's the draw. I think it's going to be your high concept ideas. I think it's going to be, sad to say, you know, your franchise films. Yeah, it's just going to be, it's going to have to be something that we've either seen before and we're comfortable with it, or something so unique that no one's ever seen it before, and that's going to be what takes it off. You know, it's got to be more story-based and less following around one particular actor.
So would you say that now, instead of, you know, following the movie stars, like, you know, we were talking about Rambo before the thing, you know, Stallone used to be the guy. Stallone would open a picture, Schwarzenegger opened a picture, it was a big event, you would see it, basically because it was, you know, one of them. Do you think now that we've shifted to, you know, established properties, shared universes, and studio-driven promotions, as opposed to just, Stallone's in this, I gotta see it?
I'm that way with Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's in it, I gotta see it.
Well, I mean, we as individuals will be like that with a certain actor or a certain, you know, a certain character even that we feel loyal to. Like, sure. I'll see any James Bond movie. I don't care who plays James Bond. I'll see any James Bond movie.
That's,
you know,
fair.
But at the same time, you know, I'll pretty much also see any Harrison Ford movie because I like virtually everything he's in. So, I don't know. A lot of that's going to change on each person, each individual person. It's like who you feel your loyalties towards.
I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, as you were talking about just A-listers in general, like, are they the ones that put the butts in the seats? Like, Chris Pratt is a pretty good example of that, because he's a part of a lot of successful movies, but they're big franchises, right? Like Jurassic World, Guardians, and then even like the Lego movie, But then you look at a movie with, like, what was that one? Passengers?
Passengers.
Yeah, so that's two super mega A-listers, two media darlings, Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. And that movie was not only panned, but it didn't make its budget back in the domestic box office.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue they were the two most bankable people in Hollywood at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, Jennifer Lawrence had the Hunger Games and X-Men franchise. Chris Pratt, you know, he had his Jurassic World. He had Guardians. You know, they both were super hot, and then the movie didn't make money. So, huh.
Yeah, maybe that's Magnificent Seven too. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, two very big names, and that movie barely made its money back. But that's also a Western, and that's just a that's a tough genre to sell, especially in 2017.
Yeah, that kind of segues that fun into, I don't know, did you guys see the article, or the study, I should say, of who the most profitable actor in Hollywood of the last 40 years is?
Is it Tyler Perry?
Well, actually, good guess, Tyler Perry is on that list. So, have you seen the article, Randy, before I start talking about it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, great. This will blow your mind. Don't Google it. So there was a British statistics company analyzed the box office of all major movies from 1980 to 2017 and correlated the salary of the stars in the film. And so based on every dollar spent on an actor, what the return was, they determined who was the most and least profitable actor in Hollywood. And the results were just mind-bogglingly shocking. So the person who was the most profitable, he for every dollar spent on him, he made the studio $6.80. And if I gave you guys a million guesses, you would never guess that the most profitable man in Hollywood over the last 40 years is the Mighty Duck Man himself, Emilio Estevez.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yeah, so it gets weirder. So second, a distant second at $4.20, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
What?
Third, even farther down at $3.50, Randy guessed him, Mel Gibson. Fourth at $3, Justin, you guessed him, and Tyler Perry. I'm shocked. You guys did great. You guys both guessed one of them.
Dude, Tyler Perry is amazing. The guy can practically do no wrong, and he's worth probably almost $1 billion by now.
Yeah, I mean, there's been 8 Madea movies, and they've a total just box office domestically, they've grossed over $800 million.
Yeah, I don't doubt it for a second. The guy is a genius, and he has figured out how the world works.
Yeah, I mean, he owns his studio. You know, his studio is one of the producing partners for The Walking Dead and a bunch of anything pretty much shot in Georgia. He's a part of, and So he for every dollar spent on Tyler Perry, you get $3 back, $3.50 back. And fifth place, for every dollar spent, you get $3 with Dudley Moore, Arthur himself.
Are you fucking kidding me? And he's been dead forever.
I was going to say, he's not even alive.
Yeah. But, you know, the criteria was you had to be in over 10 films within that time period. Least profitable was Brad Pitt. For every dollar spent on Brad Pitt, you made a dime.
Wow.
All of the bottom ones were basically your big paid actors, you know, Johnny Depp, Robert De Niro, Hugh Jackman, Anthony Hopkins, all of which were under a quarter for the returns. But you got to realize a quarter on, you know, $2 billion is better than $6 off of $30 million, sure. I guess.
Sure.
When the women's side, it was, you know, wasn't as shocking, but it was still nice to see some of these. Rose Byrne, my future wife. For every dollar you spent on her, you got $9.80 back. And then Regina Hall was number two at a very distant $3.50, and Octavia Spencer was third with $2.90.
Wow. Did you, just out of curiosity, as far as Rose Byrne goes, have you seen 28 Weeks Later?
Mm-hmm.
Man, she's got a spoiler alert, a horrible death scene.
She does, but I like her. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
So, I didn't mean to derail us, but it was just kind of a fun and shocking study that was released last week.
Dude, that's a crazy list, man. And our buddy, Mr. Dudley Moore, by the way, he was in the Santa Claus the movie, and I think only the three of us have ever seen that movie in like the entire world, which is incredible that he's even on that list.
It's the only reason I know the color puce.
So funny.
That's the color they're making the cane. And then it's also the reason that, like, if I'm ever doing something obvious and someone asks me what I'm doing, I said, what's it look like? I'm pitching a no-hitter for the Yankees.
Yeah. That fucking kid. I swear.
And I know that
and John
Lithgow
is, like, forever a bad guy because of
that. Yeah. Movie. And he eats all the candy at the end and, like, floats away.
So dumb. Patch is his name.
In, Patch, yep. Patch the Elf.
Yep.
He was also in the original Bedazzled. He played the devil, who was played much better by Elizabeth Hurley, or by better, I mean, sexier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
With Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, when he's like the coke dealer and shit. He's like,
I want to be a basketball player.
Yeah, but that would play pretty good. You know, I just got to go out there and give it 110%.
Diablo's number one.
Yeah. That guy, I hated that third Mummy movie, but he kind of redeemed himself with that amazing clap that he did at whatever award show that was.
Yeah. Ooh, well, I guess now we can talk about the story we were going to start the show off with, now that we've tangented for like 15 minutes, but sure. Justice League of America, I guess it's not Justice League of America, Justice League, the Zack Snyder / Joss Whedon's film. Runtime was released and people are freaking out that it's only 120 minutes, which is assuming credits, because usually if there's after credit scenes, which we know there will be for Justice League, they count the credits in the runtime. So Justin, does it concern you that Justice League is only going to be 2 hours when every other entry into the DCEU was over 2 hours and some of them drastically over 2 hours?
No, not at all. I mean, it is kind of weird in that the only ones that have had solo movies out of these is Superman and Wonder Woman. Everyone else is going to be kind of thrown into the mix. Even Batman in this DCEU hasn't had his own standalone. So how much expository information we're going to get, maybe they'll rush it. I don't know. It just looks like it's going to be one giant action movie, to be honest with you. So maybe 2 hours is plenty.
Yeah, I mean, Randy, we've seen a lot of footage from, because all their trailers are like 3+ minutes, and the way they had the one trailer was like 4.5 minutes, and we've gotten like 10 TV spots and the Comic-Con sizzle reel. We've seen a lot of footage from this movie, but like, we don't have any idea. Like, plot-wise, we've yet to see the villain in any of these trailers, and so they've got to explain a lot in this movie. So, I mean, Justin just hit the nail on the head. Only two of them have had standalone movies, and we've been introduced to three of them officially. So if I'm taking score of Justice League, they need to introduce us to Cyborg. They need to introduce us to The Flash. They need to introduce us to Aquaman. And even if it's a rushed, you know, exposition dump, they need to briefly let us know who these people are and what they can do, just so, you know, people aren't completely lost of why this guy's underwater and he's breathing. They need to introduce and explain the villain, the plot device, the mother boxes, you know, plus tell a coherent story that, you know, sets up Darkseid. Can this be accomplished in 2 hours, or do you think it's just going to be like you think it's going to be Batman or Bruce Wayne and Diana talking about the people they're going to recruit, and him just saying real quick, Barry Allen, he's the Flash, he runs super fast, let's get him on our team, something quick and sweet like that? Or do you think they're going to stretch it out and we're going to get like the first hour of this movie is going to be just like, who are these fuckers?
Now, I think it can be done properly in 20 minutes time, and here's how. So well, okay, so first of all, I think with the DCEU, we need to kind of approach it with a less is more standpoint, because we've seen the longer films, we realize that it doesn't necessarily always work. And I think our first hint was the footage that was shown at Comic-Con last year. You know, Bruce Wayne going around, rounding up the, you know, getting the band together kind of thing. We see him going around, gathering each member of the Justice League. I think that's going to happen within the first 20-30 minutes, and it's going to be some sort of either accompanying narration, voiceover, or maybe he's talking to somebody, and we will learn a little bit about each person as he picks them up for the team. Hell, it could probably be done in 5 to 10 minutes. It doesn't even necessarily take a full 20. But I think that's going to be how it has to happen, because we can't take time to concentrate on anybody's backstory if we've got to build the larger villain and explain Superman coming back and all that other stuff. So, I don't know. They're going to have their hands full. It's going to have to be a quick resolution without a big exposition dump, hopefully.
Dude, I think right there, you just said it. I think Superman's going to take a hit and the villain is going to take a hit. And we're not going to give a shit about either. And that's going to be unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if they could have a decent villain. So, I mean, I like the way what you had said it, Randy. So do you think this movie is just going to, I mean, because there has to be a catalyst to unite them. So, I mean, do you think the movie starts off with a villain reveal, then we get the gathering team? Or do you think that, well, you haven't seen Batman v Superman, you know, where Bruce Wayne, at the end, Bruce Wayne talks about, you know, recruiting this team. And yeah. They have these files from Lex Luthor and stuff like that. Now, do you think that, or do you think the movie's just going to start... Yeah. Open what? With the Bruce Wayne getting Aquaman scene that we've seen in the trailers.
I think that'd be a great way to open it, especially considering it is footage that we've already seen, so it's going to be getting us into the story with something familiar. But what I did see, I didn't see Batman v Superman, but I did see Suicide Squad, and I saw this quick Flash scene in there, and I saw ways that you can introduce a character. Now, I know that movie is probably the worst example I could give in the fact that that movie is exposition dump after dump after dump. So it's hopefully not the model they continue to go with. But I mean, we already have, assuming anybody going to see this movie has seen the other DCEU movies, we're going into it with a certain level of, all right, well, we've already seen this character in this movie. We don't really need to go into a whole lot. You're familiar with them. You know, I think they're going to assume some amount of familiarity.
Yeah, I think the hurdle is Cyborg.
Yeah.
I think that everyone knows what the Flash does. He fucking runs fast. Everyone knows Batman. Everyone knows Aquaman. You know, we may not be intimately familiar with all of his powers, but we understand that he lives underwater so he can breathe and stuff like that. And, you know, we can show his powers to the thing. But Cyborg is intimately linked to these mother boxes that they've shown that are going to be, you know, part of Steppenwolf's big master plan in the movie. So I think that Cyborg's probably the one they're going to have to spend the most time on it. But Justin, do you think that the other two, they can just kind of like, you know who these people are?
Yeah, I think that's fair. 100%. I am curious how Cyborg is going to work as far as like changing his body and turning his hands into crazy things. I hope it looks good.
Yeah, because I mean, I think most people are most familiar with the Teen Titans animated series, right? Cyborg. He's kind of like the fun booyah comic relief, to where that's not something I think that would fit into the established DCEU. I could be totally wrong, but
I think... Yeah, it looks like Flash and Aquaman are going to be the funny guys in this one.
Yeah. I saw a TV spot today where Aquaman was giving Batman shit, and he's like, it's coming from a guy with a pitchfork. So I think that Batman and Aquaman are going to be good foils to each other, and I could see that doing well. So Justin said he wasn't concerned, right? Is the two-hour time thing, does it concern you, or does it make you think like, there were some places we could have cut in some of these other films? 2 hours seems pretty tight for a DCU movie.
I think 2 hours is perfect. I have no problems with it whatsoever.
Well, all right. And do you think, they haven't made any announcement yet, but going off their track record of Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, they had these mega uber extended editions. Wonder Woman did not. Do you think that Justice League, I'll ask both of you, do you think Justice League eventually has a super long cut? Because there's clearly extra material since Zack Snyder was pretty much done shooting, and now Joss Whedon shooting all this other stuff. Do you think we ever see like a Zack Snyder cut or an extended cut?
I think so.
I hope so, but I mean, consider the fact that I know this is completely different studios, but consider the fact that, you know, how much more footage was there for Rogue One or something like that, and we're never going to see it. You know, bigger companies, there's a reason why they brought somebody else in to do the reshoots, and we as the public will never know what was shot. And I'm not just referencing that movie, just like with Justice League, with anything like that coming out of a big studio, I don't think we're necessarily entitled to it. We'll be lucky if we get it, but I don't know. I don't think there's
a 20th anniversary Rogue One, super mega ultra virtual reality, whatever disc format we're in, with 1 hour of extra Gareth Edwards footage just to see what it was.
I don't know. We'll all be dead by then.
No, it's going to be like the Kennedy tapes.
Yeah.
Back into the left.
Well, that was fun. You know, Star Wars, it's a movie we like. And there's been a couple small little tidbits, one of which I didn't even know. Justin, you were telling me that Mark Hamill was talking about some kind of leak.
Yeah, he tweeted today. He says, "Beware, novelization of The Last Jedi screenplay mistakenly released weeks before the film's debut. Avoid spoilers at all costs." And it says, at hashtag wait for 8. Ooh. Can you imagine? You could do it. If you search online, you'll find this fucker.
I have it right now.
Oh, Randy knows the secrets. Do you really?
I don't.
Oh.
If I did, I would start reading it right this second. I cannot wait.
I was searching for it before we started. I'm like, oh, it's so far in advance.
Like that's like straight up Pandora's box. Like you have this temptation that's just right there. And someone says, don't open it. What are you going to do? Of course you're going to open it. And once you start reading, you will not stop. Your cat could be starving and meowing in your face, and you're not going to care. You're just going to keep reading, and it's going to be ruined.
Do you know what's going to stop me from reading it?
Nothing.
Blade Runner 2049. Like, I had the best time watching that movie because it's the most blind I think I've ever gone into a movie because the marketing campaign was so vague and so centered around, like, the visuals to where at any moment anything could have happened in that film and I would have been like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. And I really like the feeling of that. And so, I mean, obviously we're going to cover the shit out of Star Wars and their marketing. We'll give some stuff away, so I won't be going there completely blind, but I like to keep some surprises. You know, Force Awakens, we all kind of knew Han Solo was going to die, but even when he did die, it was kind of like, you know, we had never gotten complete confirmation, so when he did die, it's like, eee! So, you know, I kind of want that moment, and based on how they've been treating, you know, they've already been kind of talking about their embargoes, and they've already been talking about, like, stuff like that, I think there's something big that's going to happen to The Last Jedi that they're going to want to keep secret, and I think that obviously the novel would ruin that surprise, and I want to say I'll be strong, but, you know, next week it could be saying, like, I fucking read it. Do you think you can be strong, Justin?
Yeah, I don't care. You know, you mentioned seeing Blade Runner 2049 blind. The only movie that I can think of off the top of my head that I saw in a theater completely blind was Fargo, and that was 1996. I had no idea what Fargo was. It was just, I wanted to go to the movies. That was the only thing playing at the time that I was there. And it became one of my all-time favorite movies. Like, straight up top five movie. And I had no idea what to expect when I saw it. That's the only blind movie I can think of. Aside from when my dad said, hey, come watch this. But as far as, like, a theater-going experience, Fargo is it.
It's a Mark Hamill's having fun with people on Twitter. So there was a novel that was written called The Last Jedi that came out 4 years ago.
Oh,
and that's nice. The novel that he has that he's picking up and showing people. So I guess the official Last Jedi has not landed. So Randy and I can stop Googling it furiously, like every word combination trying to find it.
That's funny.
He's sounds like he's just having fun at our expense.
That's rad.
Sneaky little Jedi.
And he also tweeted a picture from Empire Strikes Back when he's training in the cave and the Vader helmet explodes and it's his head. And he just put foreshadowing question mark, red herring question mark, dummy head question mark, camel head question mark, 54 days left to troll till the hashtag Last Jedi.
I love that guy.
So kudos on him. He got all of us. Good on you, Mark Hamill. But speaking of social media stuff that may or may not be true, a Reddit user recently he posted a picture of himself with Abrams and Terrio, who's co-running Episode 9, and said that when he had spoken to him, Abrams had said that they're going to try to connect the trilogies with Episode 9. Colin Trevorrow was originally supposed to direct Episode 9, made a kind of a similar claim, but I think I love the idea because I am a prequel defender, but Randy, what do you think of this Episode 9 uniting the trilogies? And if by doing that, does that, A, does that mean we're going to get some Anakin? And B, does that mean that this will end the saga films? And if we get we're going to get these standalone films, but we will not get an episode 10, or if we do, it'll be something vastly in the future.
Yeah. I've been a big proponent for kind of tying the whole Star Wars saga, the Skywalker saga together, and also the idea of getting Anakin or Hayden Christensen in the sequels in some way. So I think it's a fantastic move if they do it. Does that certainly spell the end of the saga? Maybe the Skywalker saga. I could still see 10, 11, 12 in a different era, you know, further on down the line. Or, you know, by then we'll have a few standalone movies under our belt. We'll be able to explore something else. I've said it from the beginning, too, ever since Disney took over. We knew there was going to be more content. I still would love to see something taking place during the Old Republic era. We don't need to dwell on this galactic civil war between the rebellion slash resistant and the Empire slash First Order. I think hopefully after 9 we'll be satisfied with the resolution and we can move on to a different era. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, what this is really going to do is this is going to force old school guys like us who grew up with the original trilogy and may at some point in times of our life have shit on the prequels. It's going to kind of force us to legitimize the prequels and take them seriously, because it does directly tie in to some characters we love, like Luke, maybe, or Leia. Who knows? However they're tying it in. But yeah, it's going to force us to respect those damn prequels.
Is it going to be Luke seeing Hayden Christensen as the blue ghost? Like fucking Marley from A Christmas Carol.
But now it's, and now they put Ewan McGregor instead of Alec Guinness as well, just to fucking piss everybody off.
That would
And Yoda's the puppet from episode 1, not the CGI.
It's the who's the guy that used that? Frank Oz.
Frank Oz is, yeah, he's the puppeteer voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, is this you, Justin? I mean, obviously, we're all big original trilogy fans. You know, we all enjoy parts of the prequels, I think it's safe to say. I think if you boil down a treatment or synopsis of the prequels, all of them are great stories and great ideas, just, you know, maybe not executed to the best of their potential. But does it excite you to hear Abrams make these claims? And do you think this is kind of his way of, you know, combating some of the criticism he received for Force Awakens being kind of both too drastic a departure from the franchise and also a complete remake of episode 4 at the same time?
Parts of me are kind of excited, but I don't necessarily want fan service just for the sake of it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want them just to throw all this shit at us just because they want it to come full circle. By having these characters in this universe, it's already coming around full circle. I don't think they need to do anything more. Short of having our three favorite characters have a scene together, which we'll never get, so that's unfortunate. But as you were mentioning that we all like something of the prequels, I started thinking, and I don't like a single part of episode 2. I take that back. I guess Yoda flipping around with the lightsaber was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only part that I like about episode 2. I hate
that. You don't like Jango versus Kenobi? Battle on Kamino?
No. I like when Mace Windu, I guess, chops his head off in like 8 seconds. That's kind of cool. But I hate that movie. But episode 1, actually, I enjoy the shit out of the pod race. I think that's so cool. One of my favorite N64 games was that fucking pod racing game, because I just liked it so much. And I think, aside from just the battle with Darth Maul, I really liked it when he flipped off his little scooter and just started attacking Qui-Gon in the desert. I thought that was so cool.
No questions, no interrogation, no communication of any kind.
Just hops off and only has the one side of the lightsaber active too. That was pretty badass.
And he was going to run over Anakin.
Yeah.
Like, he was just going to straight just mow through this child.
It looks like that something happens between those two scenes. Like, they've been running for a while. It's kind of weird that they're just kind of running towards the ship, and then he just shows up. I feel like they might have had an encounter before that.
Right, or like felt, or saw like maybe they saw. Well, there was a deleted scene where they destroy one of the probe droids.
Oh.
But, I mean, obviously they wouldn't know it's like a Sith thing, but, you know, at that point they know they're being watched, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's it. But, I mean, Uniting the Trilogy could be something as simple as, you know, in the canon novel, or the canon space of Star Wars right now, Luke does not know who his mother is. You know, so it could be something as simple as, you know, there in the novels there that are no longer canon, I understand, there was this touching scene where R2 is able to access a part of his memory that had been, like, defragged or something, and it was the scene between Anakin and Padme in Episode 3, right before Anakin goes to the Jedi Council to, you know, do bad shit. And it was a very touching moment in the novels to where that would be something that would be easy to impart into this, to where Anakin, to where, you know, Luke would understand, you know, oh, that's my mom. I've never met my mom. And it could be this really powerfully emotional scene where Luke Skywalker comes, you know, faced hologram with his mother. You know, something like that could be easy to do. But I'm with you, Justin. I don't want them to shoehorn anything into it. I want it to feel organic. I don't want them to be all of a sudden like this random Gungan, you know, just pops up and he's on Mesa Jar Jar Binks. Mesa fucked up real bad. But yeah, I just want it to be organic and feel natural and Return of the Jedi-esque.
Yes.
That.
Yes. That. Oh, shit. Oh, that's so funny.
Well, speaking of fan service, everyone loved Logan. You know, maybe Academy Award-winning Logan. Maybe we'll get some awards for it this Oscar season. But James Mangold, who wrote and directed the last two Wolverine standalone movies, arguably the two good ones, The Wolverine and Logan, is hard at work putting together a Logan sequel that would center on X-23, the popular character from Logan. So, Justin, is this a smart move, capitalizing on the you know, the hotness right now of the Fox properties, or is this, do you want to see a whole X-23 movie? She says like 8 words in the Logan movie.
No, I don't. I liked what we saw in Logan, and I think that this is one of those things where it was just a really special movie, and we should leave it alone. I do not wish to explore this story any further.
All right, that's fair. Now, what about you, Randy? Are you in the same boat as Justin? And if you are, would you prefer to see her in some form of, you know, team? You know, we see quite a few of these X-Men or these mutants escape at the end of Logan. Like, maybe they form, like, the new first class or something like that. Would you be more excited about that prospect?
Yeah, you know, no matter how we get it, I think I'm open to the idea of it. You know, ever since the end of Logan, it left itself open for more. So I'm definitely not surprised. But no matter how they treat it, I'm definitely going to go see it just because I am such a fan of the X-Men franchise. I do want to see where it's going to go with all these new mutants. So. I don't really have a good answer for your question. I'll just consume it however they force feed it to me.
Yeah, there you go. You slurp it up like your oxtail.
Your oxtail pho.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. You know, Fox is, yeah, they're taking chances and they're doing some fun stuff. I could see them. It would be an interesting way to, I mean, I don't think they would do it because they already currently have an X-Men franchise, but, you know, try to spin them off into, not the New Mutants because they have a New Mutants movie, but, you know, something. You know, I don't think that X-23 could carry a movie, just like I don't think when we first were introduced to Wolverine that Wolverine could carry a movie. You know, it took us a couple movies for Wolverine to grow into a character that could support a movie on his own, and arguably, you know, this first outing he wasn't able to do that because it was Gavin Hood's Origins Wolverine.
Which was terrible.
Not so good, not so good. Well, what about you, Justin? Would you be more interested if it was a team-up? Or no, you just... Enough with these Fox movies.
No. Well, I mean, I like what they're doing with all the new stuff, but I don't know, man. I just feel like that movie in particular is just a very special movie. I only saw it the one time. I was pretty adamant about not watching it again. I didn't want diminishing returns. And I liked everything about it. And I just want to sort of remember it for what it was. And I feel like if we explore this character further, then that'll change my opinion in some way. If they are going to do sort of like a new X-Men and have it be set sort of in this other universe, then sure, a team up would be just fine and dandy, but she would be older. She wouldn't be young, you know, she wouldn't be a little girl. I think it would be better if she was more of a teenager. But then you have a different actress, and then that again would change things for me, unless I just wait to make it. I mean, that's a possibility too. Like if we just fast forward, whatever, 5 years from now, that's fine too. But I just think that Logan in general and all the characters involved, it was a very nice sort of complete package, and it didn't feel like a passing of the torch to me. It was more of an extinguishing of a torch, and I want to leave it at that.
That's a very good way to put it. It's very apropos, but I have seen Logan more than once, and you don't have to worry, Justin. It holds up really well on a rewatch, and it's on that that Fox Screener thing that they sent us, so you know you can always log in there and check it out if you wanted to watch it again.
It's on sale on Amazon all the time for like $10. I'm just like, God damn, I should buy it. Maybe I'll watch it on the plane ride coming back to Cali.
Sure. Yeah, it totally holds up. I watched it again, and I watched like half of it in like the black and white version, and you know it was fine. It was a fine gimmick, but I got bored with it. Mm. But yeah, but now to fun 80s revival, weird, batshit crazy, out of nowhere news on movies turned to television shows. Justin, what's our weird shit getting rebooted story of the day here?
Sure. The Karate Kid. Our favorite crane kicking son of a gun, Mr. Ralph Macchio. We had talked about this over the summer. YouTube's was going to revive the Karate Kid franchise with a Cobra Kai series. And all we knew was that our buddy Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio were going to be returning. And now some further details have emerged as far as what to expect. And I'm actually pretty excited about this, because now we have Daniel, the protagonist from the original movie, and as well as part 2 and part 3, is a family man running a successful car dealership, while Johnny has degraded into a drunk, unemployed anti-hero. The two meet, causing Johnny to reopen the infamous karate dojo, where their rivalry is rekindled. And I gotta tell you, I can't wait to see where this goes. Back years ago, well over a decade ago, when we were selling cars, we were treated to that musical video of Sweep the Leg. Do you remember that? And it was sort of an amazing little reunion of all the Cobra Kais, and they're just in the trailer watching the Karate Kid basically every day of their lives, and they know it all by heart, and they're just sort of reciting it as they're watching on the couch. And that was really great to see all them together again. It was just a fun little feeling, and I'm not going to lie. I am the curiosity in me is going to bring me to watch this little series. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. The show How I Met Your Mother, they did some great stuff with Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio in their last couple seasons, just because Neil Patrick Harris's character Barney was adamant that the real Karate Kid, like the real hero of the film, was Billy Zabka's Johnny. You know, he was the Karate Kid until this little pipsqueak from Reseda came and like took his trophy. So just seeing their chemistry on that show, and then like you were saying, that Sweep the Leg, just showing that clearly they have a sense of humor about this property that is just itching to be lampooned. I'm on board. I'm like you, Justin. I'm on board.
Can't wait. 10 episodes coming out 2018 on YouTube Red. Not to be confused with RedTube.
So I got so it's a subscription service then.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I know. That's so terrible. Visit your local, what do you call it?
We don't condone that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not like YouTube's hurting for money.
They got Google money.
Why are they trying to take more of my money?
How much my is money. YouTube Red anyway? Like $10?
I think it's like $10 a month.
Fuck. Everything is $10.
You can close your phone and still listen to your music. That's one of their big advertising points.
What does that even mean?
Like if you're watching like a music video and like you hit your home button or your, sleep button, the video stops playing. To where if you are listening to like Pandora or Apple Music or Spotify, the music keeps going even if you close your phone.
Mm-hmm. Right now they have a 3-month free trial, $9.99 a month, limited time offer, ends October 31st.
Well, I'm going to hope that they have that same offer when this show comes out, and I will use my 3 months to watch all of The Karate Kid.
Yeah. Not a fan.
And then if there is season 2, I'll sign up with my wife's email address.
You're so sneaky.
I think the concept of YouTube Red is stupid.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of any of these services. And we were talking about Netflix the other day, and I think on our last show, and just all the original programming that they have. I swear to God, man, it takes me so damn long to figure out what I want to watch because I am just not interested in any of these shows that they're pumping out.
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, the top tier great stuff, but then, yeah, there's, like you were talking the other day about The Ranch, shit like that I'm not interested in. There was Rob Schneider is like I Am Rob or something like that. It's like a fictionalized reality show following like him.
I tried watching that.
It oddly sucked me in for the 6 episodes or whatever it was. But
the first episode, he's like at an airport and he's trying to get his agent to like pick him up or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I wasn't really into it. I tried it. But
well, he can't afford like a chauffeur or people to drive him around and stuff like that. So he ends up employing his stalker. He's the stalker who's always following me. He's like,
oh, nice.
He's like, well, I'm always following you, so I can just take you places.
That's right.
And so he's so like notoriously cheap that he takes him up on it. So that's kind of funny.
Is he one of those guys that is against immunization? I feel like he's one of those.
It was something stupid. It very well could be vaccinations, but yeah, he is. There's something. It's not flat Earth, so it must be vaccinations.
Yeah, he speaks out against vaccines.
Yeah.
What a, I don't know, man. I saw this map. This is so off topic, but I saw this map of different diseases that are coming back across the globe, and a lot are actually in the United States now. Of just illnesses that have been long forgotten that are coming back because people are not getting their children vaccinated. And that is just crazy to me. If there's a way to not get sick, I will fucking take the shot.
Right.
I hate being sick. Like right now, I have fucking 3 weeks ago, I had pancreatitis and pneumonia, and now I have a goddamn, I have the flu. I cannot catch a break. And if there were a shot that said, Justin, you will never get sick again, or at least you won't get pneumonia, you won't get fucking the flu or a cold, I will take it. I will take it in my eye if I have to.
Even if they're like, there's a 1% chance you'll die.
Yeah.
You'd be like, give me 2.
Whatever. I'll try it. Yeah, yeah, sign me up. Stamp my little immunization record and let's go.
Bill Burr has kind of a funny bit on, he's like, yeah, my kids and all my friends are like, oh, don't vaccinate. Vaccination is bad. I'm like, and I was in my office and I was thinking about it and I was like, wait, I didn't see any white coats on these people or degrees from doctor's degrees on their walls. So fuck them. I'm like, give them whatever you got.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking crazy.
The doctors are just bought by Big Pharma, Justin. You're just a sheep.
I am. I am
you just
a
don't
sheep.
Get it.
I am a sheep that won't get fucking the measles or the mumps or any of that other bullshit.
Or any of these diseases that were conceivably wiped out years ago.
yeah, pretty much.
Fucking smallpox and shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, no thanks. Well, now that we ended on that high note, you guys got anything else?
I do.
Oh, really? Let's hear it.
Yeah, we lost Robert Guillaume today. That makes me really sad. He was a very talented man. A lot of people our age would probably know him from, like, Benson, which was a spinoff from Soap. Very funny man. But people that listen to this podcast would probably know him as Rafiki from The Lion King. And just an incredible man. He's a singer, dancer, actor. And he was a voice in video games, fucking the Half-Life 2, for example, the Orange Box, even Kingdom Hearts, because he was Rafiki, and they bring sort of Final Fantasy and Disney characters together. He has just been a part of geek culture for as long as most of us can remember, and that's just it's a very sad loss. I feel terrible that we no longer have Mr. Robert Guillaume. And by the way, Guillaume is French for William, and I only know that because of King of the Hill with William Fontaine de la Tour d'Autrive. He is from New Orleans, and they call him Guillaume, and that made me laugh.
Some Nolans.
Nolans, yeah. Sergeant Barber Bill d'Autrive.
That's how Randy says it, because he went to Nolans, so he'll correct you.
Oh, Nolans.
Viciously correct you.
I've never been.
Randy, it's a good time.
Did you do anything crazy? Did you, like, go grave robbing or...
Voodoo? Did you do voodoo?
did a whole lot of voodoo. And that is how I am where I am today. In the middle of a graveyard.
You get Wi-Fi out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get three bars?
No, I'm like... I'm riding one bar right now, so you're kind of coming and going. But I figure it's good enough. Enough to get a point across.
Yeah, whatever's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a big loss. He was one of those actors who, you know, you may not have known his name, but you know, he's been basically everything. He's got like a trillion credits, and you know, he was just always that sturdy figure that you could put into your show, and instantly your project would have more gravitas because of him. So
absolutely.
He will definitely be missed.
And we were talking about Lean on Me before the show started. And there's just a really good movie with Morgan Freeman, too. And they just go at it and yelling and screaming at each other, and it's very powerful. And if you have a moment, you could even just YouTube Lean on Me, and I guarantee you one of the most popular scenes will pop right up. Just check it out. It's like 2 minutes.
And it's a good film, too. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but... it's worth checking out. It's about a teacher who cares too much.
Yes.
Becomes a principal.
They have those. You have Jaime Escalante. You got... what's that other chick that's with Coolio?
Carmen Sandiego?
No.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah. What was that movie called?
Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds. My God. I forgot all
that. Whose title track is... better than the movie itself.
Yes. And then you have Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
You cannot... with Brandy?
I think it's... No, it was...
was it not Hill. Brandy?
It was like Lauryn Hill.
Oh. From the Fugees?
Yeah.
Speaking of Sister Act
Frank
2,
Whoopi
Goldberg's on the cover of the magazine I work for next month.
Oh, shit.
I got to chat with her for like 10 minutes.
Because she smokes the reefer?
She has a cannabis company called Maya and Me. It's a female centric cannabis line for like menstrual stuff.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's an underserved market, I'm told.
I can imagine so.
But yeah, it is unfortunate. And I am sad that I was wrong with my Sister Act too. 90s R&B singers.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
I don't know, but I should know that. I like the Fugees. They go like, one time,
two times,
two time. I'm embarrassed. And like her mom won't sign the
permission slip.
She forges it, but then she goes and sees her singing. She's like, my baby's an angel.
Yeah, that's how I do.
I'm not gonna pay the bills.
That movie is so terrible.
Oh, wait, you down with G.O.D.? Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That movie movie is great.
Dude, the early 90s is just a bad time. 1990
even like
to 93.
Even 90s comedies. Yeah. Even 90s comedies that I would have fought tooth and nail saying they were great masterpieces, like, a lot of them don't hold up so good.
No, I was watching Friends, and I fucking hate Ross, dude. He is just the worst character ever. Not a fan of Ross.
I will not disagree with that statement. I was never a Friends guy, but he was definitely my least favorite of the group.
No good.
Not at all. What about you, Randy? Where do you fall in the Ross conundrum? I just wanted to make sure you're awake.
Yeah, no, I got no horse in this race. Because I never watched the show anyway.
What was that dumb alien show you watched in the 90s?
Oh, They Came from Outer Space.
Oh, my.
But
you
it had
an hour-long comedy?
Yeah, it was an hour-long comedy, which is, you know, you wonder why they don't do hour-long sitcoms. Well, this is kind of the reason why. But, yeah, it starred a couple of guys who had been in some fairly popular movies, like Ski School, and I don't remember the other. I think they did, like, one other movie together, but anyway.
Ski School 2, maybe?
No, Ski School 2, I think only one of them came back for it. Of this magic duo. It hit me at the right age. It came out like 1990. I was 13 years old, and it was like this really racy kind of dick and fart joke kind of like oversexed guys, like alien guys who look like teenage humans who are just trying to get lucky on Earth. And I'm like, I can totally relate to this because I feel like a teenage alien just trying to get lucky on Earth. And they didn't have much luck, and neither did I. So I related to that show on a deep emotional level.
I think it's important to remind our younger viewers that we're old enough to have not grown up with the internet. So
right.
So when you got something like this on TV, it was a big deal.
It's all you got, yeah. You cling to these things.
We're talking about the Victoria's Secret catalog only comes like twice a year, and you know you got to fill the other rest of that year.
That's true. You know what's funny is I used to get excited about the Sears Christmas catalog. I never shopped at Sears.
Toys?
I just liked the catalog.
What'd they call it, like the wish book or something like that? The Sears wish book? God, yeah, I can still remember the smell of it to this day because it had that like freshly printed catalog kind of smell, and you just sit there and like slowly turn page by page looking at all the toys you wanted to get.
Yeah.
Both Toys R Us and Target, they still do that, so it's always a big deal at our house when those two come because my kids will go through it and they'll pick out the toys they want or whatever they want for Christmas, and then usually they'll come out like pre-Black Friday, like it'll come out like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and so like we'll take it over to like my parents' house for Thanksgiving and like show everyone what my kids are looking for. So
the
tradition does continue to this day, so that's good.
Christmas wish book. Sears wish book is what it was called.
Yeah, he used to advertise like guns in there and stuff.
That's a good pull, Randy. I forgot it was even called that.
I think I only remember that because it's still one of those things that's frequently mentioned and reminisced about in vintage Star Wars collecting groups.
Ah.
Yeah. Some people even have gone so far as to have like old ones that have survived the test of time and they'll scan it in so you get to see all the vintage pictures, and even more depressing, like all the prices that they are asking for all this super rare expensive stuff now.
Oh man, I bet.
They want $2 for this figure? Yeah, out of your mind. No day I'm ever paying $2 a figure.
How much were the the Star Wars A New Hope toys, like when they first came out in 19...
When they first came out, yeah, they were in like the $2 range for a figure. Upper $1, like $1.79 or something like that. And all throughout the range, from 78 until 85 when they were done, they didn't go up much more than like a dollar. I remember they were still like around $2.99 in 85 when the last wave came out.
Wow.
And then they'd go down to clearance, and you can get them. Some places you can get them as cheap as like 99 cents or 49 cents. I remember KB Toys still had them into the late 80s. And my epic find, this was like 1993 or 94. It was like they had been done making these toys for almost a decade. And it was before the new Star Wars toys came out in 95. But I was at a Kmart, and I was on a clearance aisle. And in a pile of junk that had accumulated at the bottom of some shelf, I found a black Bespin security guard in an Empire Strikes Back package from 1982, probably. It was 82, actually, because it had the Revenge of the Jedi mail-away Admiral Akbar figure. So it was before the Return of the Jedi title had been changed. But I found this beat-to-shit figure, 49 cents, still in the package, just terrible, horrible condition. And I bought it. It had been sitting there since 1982. It had been sitting there for 11 or 12 years.
Wow.
Can you imagine in this day and age, merchandise sitting on a store shelf, especially you, Justin? Can you imagine merchandise sitting on a store shelf for 12 years?
No, it doesn't. When it goes clearance, it gets it goes clearance and it goes salvage, and then it gets like donated.
Yeah,
they just weren't very good at their go backs.
Yeah,
clearly. Or maybe it had been hiding in some back room, or it got, you know, it was underneath some fixture, and then they found it when they were inventorying. Who knows?
I'm surprised that the point of sale system even recognized it. A lot of times, like at least in today's, it would come up as like $0 because it's something that's been out of the inventory for so long.
That's probably true, but it did have like a handwritten markdown sticker on it. So even if they did zap and it didn't come up, they probably just manually entered it by hand. I don't know. Right. It was over 20 years ago.
That's incredible.
But it is still in my collection to this day, and it is by far the shittiest carded figure that I own. But it is so cool because it is original. I am the only owner of it. And man, it's got a story to tell.
That's rad. Fucking KB Toys. They went out of business in 2009, and they opened in 1922.
Oh, wow. Man.
That's crazy. And
they used to always put like...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. They always used to put like Transformers and Turtles. They used to always do like their like three for $9.99 sale, like or on GI Joes and stuff like that. I remember we used to get all that clearance shit.
And you got your Star Wars guy at a Kmart? Is that what you said?
It was a Kmart.
Is that place still around? Kmart?
Yep.
Yeah, Kmart's are still around. Kmart and Sears are same parent company. Oh. Neither one are doing well. Both are closing locations, but as of right now, it is still a thing. And then, I mean, earlier this year, Toys R Us filed for bankruptcy. That was just like last month.
And they've done that a couple of times in the last couple of years. Not filed for bankruptcy, but, undergone significant changes.
Like restructuring.
Restructuring.
Almost every store that we ever used to go to back in our heyday of toy collecting... and by store, I mean specifically Toys R Us store. Almost every single one is closed.
That's sad.
Like, all the ones that I used to haunt on a regular basis are no longer.
There's one around here in Bellevue, which is in between Redmond and Seattle. It's about 10 minutes away. And I went there a couple months ago. Remember, and I was sending you guys photos of all these crazy toys. They actually have some pretty cool licenses at Toys R Us. They have some really neat shit these days. It's a shame that they're not making any money.
Yeah.
There's one right by my house, and then there's the one that I used to go to when I was younger on like Golden West. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, other than that, you know, they all seem to be going the way of the dodo.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. It's just fun to go. I used to love it when they had sort of all those gondolas set up where it was a maze when you first walked in. It was a bit of a hike to get inside the actual store because they made you walk through all this crap before you actually got to where the aisles were.
But now you can get the same shit at Target and Walmart for, you know, usually less, or usually they'll have an actual sale. So,
and even Amazon, you don't even need to go anywhere. They deliver the shit to you these days.
Yeah, I think the internet, yeah, I've definitely heard it as well, but it's, you know, specialized stores are, you know, not as necessary anymore. You don't need a designated game or toy store anymore. You know, your big box stores they got you covered.
Yeah. I mean, they had, when I went there, they had Alien toys. Remember there was like that Hudson and Hicks 2-pack I sent you guys a picture of?
Oh, yeah.
There was those cage-free alien eggs, which is pretty badass. There was a God of War figure. There was a Kratos that had like different heads and all these cool weapons and accessories. They just had really cool shit. A lot of 80s properties. Gremlins toys. I was impressed with their selection. It's just a shame that no one really shops there anymore.
Mm. Just couldn't get their shit together.
Yeah. Remember when you had to take their for video games, they just had like those little cards, and you would just take it, and then you pay for it, and then you got to go to their super mega cage where
they have those like long display cases the whole length of an aisle, and you're like, oh man.
Yeah, they had like the artwork hanging on this little plastic thing that you could flip up, and then you take the paper from behind that.
Yep. That was cool.
The good old days, back when video games took up like one aisle, one small aisle, in an otherwise huge toy store.
Yeah.
You had your Nintendos and your Segas, and that was it.
Yeah. Man, by the time the Super Nintendo came out, the NES catalog was ginormous. There was a billion video games on the NES.
Yeah, 741 licensed games. There was over 800 when you took into account the
horrible ones.
The non-licensed games of like the Tengen games and stuff like that. But it's interesting, you know, with the NES Classic versus the Super Nintendo Classic versus what I'm sure will be the Nintendo 64 Classic, you know, having less games on each system just because, you know, there's a lot less AAA titles. I mean, even, you know, if you keep going to today, you know, we only get a handful a year, to where in the Nintendo days, you know, they're pumping out 100 games a year.
Yeah.
To where now, you know, that's not the case so much.
Especially based off of movie properties. If there was a movie, there was a Nintendo game for it.
And it's like, probably made by LJN.
Yeah, it's like fucking the Color Purple video game.
What is the objective of this game?
No one really knows. Survival, I guess. And you're Whoopi Goldberg hopping over platforms and trying not to get attacked by birds and bees and.
I guess it's good that you made it a platformer. I was going more like a Farmville type simulator game, but I guess that's not cool.
You know, I haven't even opened up my SNES Classic.
No, really, it's a lot of fun.
I am the worst. I don't open up anything. Steven always yells at me for not doing that. It's just sitting right here by my computer.
No, it's a rad little system.
I'm sure
it's got a real good mix of games, to where the NES Classic kind of had some like kind of glaring omissions and some questionable picks. To where this one, you know, you got a lot of fun games that can really, if you wanted to, you could really put some time into. You know, you got your Zelda Link to the Past, you got your Final Fantasy III, you got your Super Mario RPG, you got your Super Mario World, and just all these games that, you know, are just amazing.
Sure. Earthbound, Donkey Kong Country. Secret of Mana is one of my favorite games ever, and I love the music in that game. But Super Mario World is for me, that is the best Mario game.
Yeah, I don't think you would get a lot of argument.
I know a lot of people like Mario 64. Mario 3. More recent folks like Galaxy and Galaxy 2, and Mario Brothers 3 is incredible. And I would say that that's the best one on the NES. Probably the best game on the NES. But for me, Super Mario World is the best Mario game.
I think it's the most playable. Like it feels the best.
And there's like a billion levels. There's gotta be, there's like 90 something levels in that game.
Yeah, you got 92 stars is what you'll end up with if you beat every single level.
That's nuts. And there's a million ways to get to the end of each level. You can, it's kind of weird in that it invites exploration, which is great.
Yeah, if it's got a red circle, it's got two ways to beat it. If it's a yellow circle, just one way.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love that game.
I love you.
Oh, that's great. I love you, too.
I want to make love to you while looking at Randy.
Ooh, does Randy have to look at you?
I don't care what, Randy. He can be eating
his pho. Am I going to be a dirty cuckold in this?
You're just going to be sitting there slurping your pho.
Yeah. I'll make the slurping sounds extra loud so I don't have to get too distracted by the other sounds.
There you go.
whatever it takes to get you there, man. I ain't judging.
And I want you charging my phone while I'm doing it.
But not in the wall with one of those like portable chargers that won't get it all the way charged.
Yeah,
multitasking.
It skates around like the 93%.
And then it's like you keep hearing the buzz, like it's charging, and it's not charging, it's charging. God damn.
Yeah, I hate that. I was doing that just the other day, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I got all mad. Last night, I was doing it. Last night, I was driving, and I just kept hearing the buzz. I'm like,
"This goddamn third party cords."
Yeah, officially licensed Amazon products. Amazon Basics, as they're called, I think. Amazon Basics.
Might as well say shit that don't work.
Yeah, no kidding. Anywho.
Slash David's 14th monopod. I bought like 4 Amazon Basics monopods. I just keep losing them.
You gotta quit doing that. You gotta wear them around your neck like glasses on old ladies.
Well, one day I'm sure I will find like 6 of them. And I'll be like, oh, they're here all along. Idiot.
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't know that.
I did know that. I've been calling you one for years.
Well, good on you. 2 O's, 3 U's.
15 years we've known each other. That's nuts.
What a glorious 15 years it's been.
I know.
I've known Randy 14. He's almost in the 15-year club.
Almost.
You poor bastards haven't been able to get rid of me since.
First time I met Randy, like, he shot me with an airsoft gun.
Sounds about right.
Well, I was the idiot that said, does it hurt? And you're like, I don't know, let me show you. And you just fucking didn't even, like, hesitate. You just put a pointer right at me and shot.
It's better just to get it over with quick.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
But I guess the answer is, did it hurt?
Well, he shot me right behind my knee, so it was in a sensitive area.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I was aiming for your kneecaps. I was trying to kneecap you.
And I just turned really fast. I was like, holy shit, he shot me right where your crease is.
And you didn't run for the hills. You're like, no. I'm going to be this guy's friend.
I was like, I like his style.
Like the cut of his jib.
Got moxie.
He's got moxie. Moxin? What? So. Well, that's all I got. You guys got anything anything else?
No.
No? Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geeklexia Podcast. And make sure to go to Geeklexia.com for all your geek news and reviews. Like us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Geek Legacy. We're the best friends you ever would have. And we'll talk to you next time.
And the Pixelated Podcast.
And the Pixelated Podcast. And the fucking line.
And the fucking line. And we know this is your homework.
Yeah, we know it's your homework.
This is what happens, Larry. Do you see what happens? Do you see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass?